This is Andrew Baggerly of the Bay Area News Group. Now back to Marty Lurie as he celebrates his 20th season of talking baseball here in the Bay Area.
Well, with that introduction, we'll go back to Busch Stadium and bring in the real Andy Baggerly, extra bags with two G's on Twitter. Andy, how are you?
Hey, Marty, I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Glad to have you with us. Thanks for taking a little time with us today. First of all, weather report. Last night you had that delay. What's it looking like today?
Well, it's been a pleasant afternoon. It's no rain. In fact, mostly overcast, but the clouds are very, very high and light, and the sun is breaking through. The forecast for the rest of the evening, a bit dodgy, I guess you could say. It should be pretty consistent scattered thunderstorms throughout the evening. But now the Cardinals, I think, are not going to take batting practice. The Giants moved up their BP, so they're going to take BP in the Cardinals slot so they can get some work in on the field before any rain's going to move in. But I have a feeling that they're going to try to get it in as best they can, but we're probably going to see some delays. And you just hope it doesn't happen at a point where maybe the starters got hot and they're only two or three innings in, and then both teams have to go to the bullpens early. That can make a mess of the game, but if we can get the rain to hold off until at least the starters are out, then I think we'll get this one in.
Well, last night had to be a confidence builder, I would imagine. And looking at my scorecard, 6 runs scored in the last 3 innings, and that is something that's been a problem for the Giants to come back. They did it against the Mets in the 9th inning, and it took them 2 years to do that, and they turned around and did it last night again.
Well, you're right. I mean, it was exactly 2 years to the day that they had a win when they were down through 8 complete innings, and when they did it finally at Citi Field in New York, and now they've done it in back-to-back road games. And I mean, the way I wrote it in my game story was almost every win at this point is a comeback win for the Giants, in one sense, no matter how the score goes, because they're coming back from that terrible April that they had, and from being 12-24 or whatever it was they were, and having the worst record of the National League after May 1st for the first time and as long as anyone can remember. So, they're going to have to only get out of this by winning series and climbing. You can't just get into a helicopter and zoom out of the hole. You've got to climb your way out. And if you slip and you lose your footing and you fall down a little bit, that just means you have to start all over. So, this is not a team that can really afford to get swept on the road or even do worse than a 500 road trip. I think you try to, best case, a worst case scenario, go 4-3 on a trip like this against two tough teams in two tough places to play. And then when you go home, you try to really get on a roll and win series and build up from there. And if they can find a way to get close to 500 or at 500 by the All-Star break, they open the second half with 3 at San Diego, and we know the problems the Padres are having. And then they're going to play 20 of their next 23 in the Bay Area, counting the couple games at Oakland. So if they can get to a point where they can really, find their footing and maybe use that part of the schedule as a jumping-off point to become contenders again, then you can sort of think to yourself, maybe they can make something out of this year. But that's still a lot of games to climb up. They're still 7 under 500 right now. It boils down to just winning series and being as competitive as you can. And we're seeing a much more competitive team these last couple weeks.
Well, in the whole league, there's only 7 teams over 500. And who knows where that's going to be at the end of the year. And I'm including Milwaukee in there as well. And I'm going to put Colorado and Arizona in there too. So, you got the Dodgers, you got the Cubs, you got this Cardinal team and Washington. And they're probably going to be, pretty good by the end of the year. But there's only 7 teams in the league playing 500. I think the Giants get to 500, and all of a sudden, there's a whole horizon that opens for them.
I agree. And I think that, you have to look at, you have years where you can say, well, the last time a team was this many under 500 and made the playoffs was, the Blue Jays back in, 1980 something. But having that second wild card, I think, really opens things up. And, of course, it's great if you can win 90 plus, but you probably don't have to. So that definitely does open up the possibilities, because we have seen years where, I think I want to go back to maybe 2002 when the Angels were the wild card team, that ended up being the Giants in the World Series. I think they won 99 regular season games. And, if you won 98, you were going home. There was nothing you were going to do. But I don't think that's going to be the case this year.
looking at last night, and this was impressive to me, and of course watching the game and listening on the radio as well. Last three innings, Arroyo 2-for-2 with a walk. Nunez 2-for-3 with two RBIs, of course the game winning RBI really. Crawford 1-for-3 and got the big hit to get the belt to third. Belt 1-for-1, a walk and a huge single to start that inning off in the ninth. And then Span 2-for-2, and both hits coming with runners in scoring position and driving in two runs. So what I like about this thing is people who maybe were struggling a little bit are coming through in leverage, high leverage situations. And I took that away from last night that I liked about the game. The people that I talked about came through.
Oh, I agree. I think it comes down to having good at-bats, and you know, in a belt is a great example. You know, this is a guy who, when he was struggling, he was getting on via the walk, but you got to be ready to hit the fastball, too, and you've got to be ready to have a good at-bat. And you know, he set up a lot of what they did last night by getting three hits. Crawford had a really good two-strike approach and was able to get the big hit that really set that whole ninth inning up. And then you need someone, as Bruce Bochy said, someone's got to come through with the big hit. And we know that it's not always going to be home runs on this team. And in fact, you look at all the home runs they've hit, they've all been solo shots. You know, a two-run double is better than a solo homer in my book. And that's exactly what they got from Eduardo Nunez. And you know, it really leads you back to a team like the 2012 team that hit the fewest homers in the majors that year, but probably had the best overall offense of any Giants team, you know, since Bonds. And that's because they just hit a slew of doubles and triples. You had Melky Cabrera, you had Pagan having his best season as a Giant at the top of that lineup. You know, and Denard Span, let's not forget, knocked in two runs or late. And I think they're a different team when they're getting some production out of that leadoff spot. I mean, we always talk about what their record was with Angel and what it wasn't with Angel. And I don't know if it was Angel per se as much as having somebody who could do something out of that leadoff spot. It's so important for this team, the way they're set up to win, you know, the way that their ballpark plays at home especially. And Denard Span's really done a nice job since he's come off the DL, and I think that's a big part of why they've been able to do a little bit more.
Well, the eighth inning was huge, too. And, again, we'll take a little time to take this game apart because I think it was indicative of the way they've been playing the last week or so and what they've got to keep doing. Arroyo gets a base hit. Now, of course, he struggled against right-handers, but he comes in and gets the base hit and stays back on a nice breaking ball. And then Moore stays back on a breaking ball and hits the ball up the middle. And now you're in business, and eventually Span knocks in the run.
Yeah, and that was a big pinch hit by Moore. You're right. And part of what is pretty impressive about him, because, you know, he's this guy that casts that long shadow in the dugout, and he can make you rethink a move if you're the opposing manager. You know, we know he hit the big pinch homer in his first at bat, and that was, you know, an unbelievable moment. But, you know, the guy can find a way to work you to right and right center too. And he's not necessarily just, you know, swinging, you know, out of his shoe tops trying to hit the ball 480 feet. He can hit it up the middle and get a hit that way, and he can hit it to right field. And you know, to be able to do that with as few at bats as he's getting, it's pretty darn impressive. And that certainly was a big contribution that he made off the bench last night. That was a good one to highlight.
You know, I know they've got people coming back. You know, Gillespie will come back. Hill is going to come back. Pence will come back. I wouldn't get rid of Morse. I think Morse stays on my team. I think he has a spot.
Well, now, Gillespie, I think, will be back. And Pence, of course, will be back. And we're talking about Aaron Hill like they're going to have to make room for Aaron Hill. And I mean no disrespect here, but I'm not sure if they're going to have to make room for Aaron Hill. He's going to have to he's not necessarily got a place waiting for him, because, you know, they brought Aaron Hill into camp to be a right-handed, you know, backup infielder, a right-handed bat off the bench. You could park one. And right now they've got Morse kind of doing the job. And now they don't have a positional flexibility with a Morse on the roster versus a Hill. I mean, Morse can only play first base. They're not going to try to put him in left field. Bruce Bochy said that the other day. But when you do have a Nunez who can move around, that maybe helps the situation a little bit. And, I think Hill would give them a little more versatility. But if they can't find a spot for him, I don't think they're going to find a spot for him.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think he understands that, too, because he got hurt at a bad time before he could establish himself. I think it was 3-for-20 or something like that when they were really struggling. Andy Baggerly with us. Follow him on Twitter at Extra Bags with 2 G's. Andy, the matchup, well, let me talk about Matt Moore just for a second before we go to today. You know, I've said this before, just give me a quality start and I'll take care of it from there. And he actually did that last night and looked a little rocky to begin, but then he pulled himself together.
Yeah, no, you're right. He did. And it was an important one because he's just been terrible on the road. And the whole rotation really has been terrible on the road. And they know it. They know they have to be better. And, you know, one very early sign, he gets the first two guys out and then he loses, you know, the next hitter.
Carpenter.
Carpenter with two outs and the bases empty, and it's that walk. And how many big Matt Moore innings have we seen start with two outs and the bases empty and a walk? It's like, you know, go after the guy. You know, what's the worst he can do? And then they've got Jerko up. He's their hottest hitter. And what does Moore do? He gets two quick strikes. I think he threw a fastball and a cutter. Mm-hmm. And then he got him to chase a good knuckle curve out of the zone. And so he sort of tamps down that inning right there before it can really get out of hand. And, you know, I was a little surprised that Waka was out after six innings and with a manageable pitch count. I was a little surprised we didn't see Trevor Rosenthal last night. You know, a game like that, even though Moore's losing 2-0 when he's coming off the mound, you know, if he doesn't put in a quality start in that piece, then the Giants aren't in position where they can rally. And now they've got that belief, I think, that they can come back and win some of these games. And that should make the starting pitchers, I think, feel even better. Like, you know, I don't need to necessarily go out and be perfect, but if I can keep this game close, this is a good enough team that they can find a way to win some of these games. And,
yeah, they're starting
and I
to
think
do
so
it.
That was a good confidence for Moore.
Yeah, they're starting to do it. Jennifer Langosh, you know her from MLB.com, was on with us earlier,
sure.
Said that Rosenthal's been fighting a lat issue, and they're trying not to use him too much. And he was not available last night, and that explained why Broxton was in the game, why the kid from the Bay Area was in the game, and how they had to use the bullpen last night without Rosenthal. So that was
Well, thanks for letting me know. I figured it had to be something.
Yeah, so. Exactly, because, you know, I always say this, and, you know, we do the shows, and some, why didn't they do that? Why didn't he play? And then, of course, you learn the guy wasn't available. And that's the things that we don't know before a game starts. Andy, what about Samardzija today? And I look at the numbers, the walks, and strikeouts, they're just incredible, the kind of numbers he's putting up right now. You look at his last 41 innings pitched, 4 walks, 47 strikeouts. Come on. This is unbelievable. And here he goes today against a team that has given him a little trouble in the past.
Yeah, I've thought all year his stuff has just been tremendous, just really, really good. And it wasn't really matching up in terms of results. Of course, he gave up some of the home runs you know, early in at some bad times. But I think that he's riding a little bit of confidence right now. And, you know, as you mentioned, this is a ballpark where maybe he struggled from time to time. But and this is an aggressive team. I mean, this is not necessarily a team that, you know, you want to pump, you know, 0-2 pitches that are super competitive, because they will chase, they will strike out. So, you know, I think expanding the zone from time to time is going to be good for him today, but you got to get in position, you know, to use those pitches and you got to get ahead in the count to do that. And so that'll be the key, as it normally is for any pitcher, but I think it's been especially a big key in Samardzija's little turnaround that he's having here.
Well, we'll let you run, and I appreciate the time today, but in May, 3 games, 21 innings pitched, 1 homer given up, no walks, 28 strikeouts, and I don't think I've seen that too often.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And I'm just about to pop up a story on Brian Morris.
Oh, good. He's going to be on our show after you. Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah, he was super, super impressive. I mean, you look at what he's done as his last 6 or 7 outings, and then you realize the guy pitched in 2 spring training games and 3 games at AAA. So, you know, you sort of throw out his first couple outings, and you realize that, you know, Bruce Bochy really likes experience. And he touched on that yesterday when Okert walked the leadoff hitter. It's like that's experience shows you that you don't do that. And experience helped Mark Melancon, you know, get out of the ninth inning after giving up the hit and making a poised double play there. Experience helped a guy like Morris, you know, pitch that big critical eighth inning. And I think that he wants some more experience in this bullpen. And now he's got Melancon back, and I think he's going to use Morris a lot. I think he likes him, and he's going to get a shot to pitch in some leverage roles, And you know, we haven't really, we're only now seeing what you know, the Giants, you know, hope they were getting when they signed him.
Yeah, yeah, he's going to be on. I sat down with him and did a nice 15-minute interview, so we're going to get that on today as well. I'm glad we can end on that note. Very good. Andy, thanks for taking the time, as always. Always a great report from you. Have a good night, and I hope it's a very smooth night without any delays.
Okay, thank you, Marty.
All right, that is Andy Baggerly, Extra Bags with two Gs on Twitter. Very good. Glad to have Andy on today. Yeah, Brian Morris is going to join us. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and I'll introduce that interview. But Andy did a very good introduction to Morris, who's 30 years old. He's been a big leaguer, an original Dodger, believe it or not, draftee. And he was traded in the Manny Ramirez trade, that three-corner trade, the Pirates, Boston, and the Dodgers. He was part of that trade. He ended up with the Pirates. Then he ended up going to the Marlins. Then he got hurt, and then he became a minor league free agent, and that's how the Giants got him. But he's had very good years. I mean, this is not a guy who's, you know, gotten blasted around. He's had good years, but he's been hurt, and that's always an issue with players. All right. Matt Leland, how are you today? I didn't say hello to you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Marty. How about you?
Good. Very good. Raph, how are you today?
Super, Marty. How you doing?
Yeah, we had fun at the dinner.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There was no crazies.
No, everyone was good. Joe Teixeira was there and gave out his record book, uniquebaseball.com, the best record book I've ever seen. Everyone was just blown away.
They loved it. Yeah.
When you're a winner and Joe shows up, you get he brings the book for everybody. Very generous to do that. So thanks to the John Dugan family, John, and of course his dad and mom Marie, always very nice to us.